It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
You want a shot at playing in late October?
You got to start talking now.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show
with Kyle Seeloff,
driven by AutoNation,
is on 940 Wins,
Miami Sports.
All righty. We are back. Happy to be back. Thanks for tuning in to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, driven by AutoNation. Tuesday, the 9th of February. Baseball will start next week. I'm Kyle Seeloff. Joining us tonight is Kelly Sacco of Fox Sports Florida, soon to be Bally Sports Florida. But you see Kelly on the sidelines all year long. Great to have her aboard this evening. So, Kelly, it's awesome to have you here. It's been a really long time since we've got a chance to chat some baseball. But how you been? What's been going on?
Goodness, Kyle. I mean, it feels like it's been forever. You know, everything's been good on my end. It's better now that baseball is closer. I'm so excited to be here with you tonight, and I'm more excited to get the season started.
You know, in last year, everything started on time, but then it got shut down, and we were all left wondering for a couple of months, what the heck are we supposed to do? To me, though, you can just feel the excitement this year on the heels of a long, long season for a lot of teams last year. But to sit here tonight and know that we're about to go through the grind of 7 months, you know, sometimes it sounds silly, but a lot of people are looking forward to that.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
One of those people. It's funny because just before everything happened last year and before the shutdown and the short season, it's the season, you kind of come into it like mentally preparing, like, okay, this is going to be a grind. You're going to get the dog days of summer. And now I find myself craving those days because I missed it last year. Last year, we blinked and everything was gone. So, yes, I'm very much one of those people who's ready to get into the grind of things.
All right. Well, Marlins fans were craving a postseason appearance, and they got it last year. Now we're all craving baseball. We're going to get it back next week. Folks were craving a power bat in the Marlins lineup. And as we hit the air this evening, Kelly, Craig Mish on at first, John Heyman also reporting the Marlins have agreed to a deal with veteran outfielder Adam Duvall. He was very good for the Braves last year. And listen, Kim Eng said a couple of weeks ago that they were still in the market for a bat. They're still in the market for a reliever. And I'll turn it over to you here, Kelly. Go ahead. But whatever the Marlins said that they're going to do, they have gone out and done it.
They absolutely have, and Adam Duvall is that bat that they've been looking for, and he was fantastic for the Braves last year, played the last three seasons with them. Last year, 16 home runs in 57 games. We can't forget he was an all-star in 2016 where he hit 33 home runs, so you know that the power is there. What interests me, though, Kyle, outfielder.
Yeah.
Yet another outfielder in Miami has a ton of them.
Well, and look, the Marlins have recently announced their non-roster invitees. Kelly and I know we were chatting before the show how we wanted to structure this thing a little bit and what we wanted to chit-chat about. And by the way, Mel Sottlmeyer Jr., Marlins pitching coach, is going to join us right around the 5:30 time frame. But let's flush out with this news this afternoon, Kelly. What the Marlins need to do now in the outfield, it would appear as if there's a whole lot of guys and not enough playing time. If Duvall gets added into the mix, they're going to have 14 outfielders in big league camp. Let's go right through them, and then we'll kind of pick it apart a little bit. You've got J.J. Bleda, Peyton Burdick, Brian Miller, Cameron Meisner, Connor Scott. Those are your non-roster invitees. Probably fair to say, not sure if you agree, but they probably will start the season in the minor leagues.
I'd imagine so, especially, you know, these guys are guys who didn't get an entire season of minor league play. That was a huge year for development. So you want to assume, at least this is what we're doing, assuming from our end, that these guys, they want to see them get reps at the minor league level and continue to develop before they give them their shot. But you got to think guys like J.J. Bleda, I mean, they're knocking on the door.
Well, that's, you know, and you make a fantastic point, because even if Kim Eng in the front office say that they need a little more salt and pepper in their game, they need a little more seasoning. Look, we're not cooking this thing, you know, it's not raw meat here. These guys are about ready to get after it at the big league level. So if you've got, if you take into those five non-roster invitees into consideration and remove them from the mix, then you're still looking at nine outfielders. And let's go one by one here. We'll quickly go through it. Lewis Brinson, and I'll turn it over to you, Kelly, but he's got an option left. Now with Duvall in the mix, Brinson looking better last year.
Absolutely. I mean, with Lewis Brinson, you got to love what you saw from him last year. And it's not just the numbers. We're not just going to go on, you know, Baseball Reference and be like, oh, okay, we'll compare to this. It's not just about that. There's something more that comes to that. It's the way he carries himself. And you could see that something kind of clicked for him. And he was carrying himself with confidence, even through the struggles. And that's what you want to see, is how the guys portray themselves, how the guys get through the tough times. Really, is whether or not they can make it in this league. So Lewis Brinson definitely looking better makes it even harder to make a decision.
And maybe it makes it a little easier in regards to he has an option left. Okay, and by the way, Gerard Encarnacion into this mix, one of the nine outfielders. Maybe we assume that he starts the season in the minor leagues too. Now you're looking at eight guys for three outfield spots. You know Corey Dickerson and Starling Marte are mainstays. So now you're looking at six guys for one spot. We just talked about Brinson. He's got an option left, although he did look much, much better last year. Encarnacion maybe starts here in the minor leagues. How about Monte Harrison?
Monte Harrison, another guy that looked absolutely fantastic. I mean, you love what he does out there on the field. He was serving a lot as a pinch runner.
Yeah.
We saw him a lot last year, and he's just so aggressive on the base pass. You heard Donnie talk about it. He's like, hey, he's got it. Go. Run. And he really created things, situations for the Marlins to get things going. And you got to love that aggressiveness. And again, that's another guy when you want to continue to see, get those reps at the big league level and to continue to get better. But we're talking about options, right? Remember Harold Ramirez?
Well, yeah.
One option left with him as well.
So, look, and I think it's a fantastic point because there's a ton of guys here, and there's simply not enough playing time for all these guys. But if you know for sure Corey Dickerson and Starling Marte are in your outfield, and presumably Adam Duvall is in the mix now, and he's about to sign apparently a $5 million one-year deal with the Marlins, and he has the right field experience. If you've got those three guys in your outfield on opening day, here's a really interesting name, Kelly, and you got to flush this one out. He doesn't have an option left. He's looked really, really good in the big leagues the last couple of years, but he flat out can't stay healthy. It's Magdery Sierra, and I'm not sure this organization is willing to let him walk somewhere else.
And how can you, from what you've seen from Magdery Sierra? And let's talk about the type of game that the Marlins play for a second. The reason the Marlins, one of the many reasons the Marlins were successful last year, is because they played their game.
Yeah.
They weren't out there trying to outslug everybody. No, that wasn't their game. They played their game, and part of it, a really big part of their game, was speed.
Yeah.
And a lot of that speed comes from a guy like Magdery Sierra. But then you mentioned, Kyle, the injuries, right? He was out for, what, nearly a month with that hamstring strain? But you see the potential there, and you know what he has to offer. Out of options.
Yeah.
So what do you do with a guy like that?
Well, and it's a business, right? I mean, you have to understand that if Lewis Brinson has an option, of course, Gerard Encarnacion, Monte Harrison, Jesus Sanchez is in the mix too, along with Harold Ramirez.
Also has that option left.
You know, if you were to ask me right now, in Duvall's in the mix, you've got Dickerson, Duvall, and Marte. I'm hard-pressed to let Magdery Sierra just walk unless he has a really bad spring and you just don't have a choice. I think he's going to be on the opening day roster. But then do you throw a Harold Ramirez in there who's been playing winter ball? Or does Lewis Brinson show you enough? I think the point, though, that we're getting at, it's going to be a really healthy competition in spring. There's going to be guys that have their jobs. Duvall, Marte, Dickerson, you got your job. But then you're going to have five or six guys. You boys better go out there and show us, because you don't know if you're, but seriously, you don't know if you're going to have a job. Like, you better do well, because some of you might not be here. And I think that's exactly the healthy competition the organization is breeding.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Kyle. That's how players don't get complacent, when you know there are, I mean, it is just a flip of a coin. Who's going to get this? Who goes out there and shows they want it more? Who can do it, has a good spring, Yeah, it's exactly what the organization, once again, said they were going to do, and we're seeing it. We're seeing it right here in front of us.
Yeah, and you could go back to the bullpen, what they've done this offseason. We're going to go out. We're going to make changes. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. X, Y, Z. Kim Meng and her staff have gone out and done it. Sounds like they're still in the market for a bullpen arm. We stay away from the pitching for a second because Craig Mish is also now reporting, and this name kind of ties into the outfield situation. Gerrit Cooper has played right field. Craig Mish is reporting the Los Angeles Dodgers have expressed interest in Gerrit Cooper. Again, I come back, Kelly, when you add Adam Duvall into the mix here, the fantastic problem you have is you've got way too many guys. It's hard to fill out a roster with so many talented players. So who's on the outside looking in? If Gerrit Cooper, could he potentially get traded? If you look on the infield now, there's a lot of competition there too.
Right. I mean, you look at first base where we've seen Coop there as well. You've got Jesus Aguilar.
Yeah.
And that's a guy who not only, we're talking about power, we know he brings that, but he also brings the element to the clubhouse.
He's a glue guy.
That
you're
guy
absolutely
is
right.
A glue guy. Yes. Yep. Players love him. He brings this energy and this feel to the team. It's just part of that leadership and that culture that made that team click. And that was so much fun to watch last year. You got him there. So that was someone that we've talked about in weeks, and I know you've talked about this with, you know, whoever's been on the show before,
yeah,
with JP and Gabby, that hey, what's gonna happen to him if there isn't a DH as of right now? We'll get into that. There isn't one. So we thought he was out of the mix, maybe be out of the mix, but now we're hearing Coop's name get thrown around. Does that secure Aguilar? I don't know. There's just...
Well, I think that they've got to be up to something because it does get to a point where you have to make some decisions as to, you know, we might need to think about trading one of these guys and
right,
get something back in return, because you, once you have such a logjam and you have 6-7 competent guys that could legitimately be on your big league roster for a particular position or an outfield position, you do, that's when you have to start making some decisions.
And maybe they heard, hey, we're still in the market for pitching. You can never have too much
You're
pitching.
You're absolutely right.
Is that what they're looking for? We don't know, above our pay grade, but this is us just, you know, talking it
not
out.
Not above mine. No, I'm kidding.
Just hear that out there.
But if you flush out the infield, and we were talking about this a little bit, Kelly, when you came up to the radio booth tonight here at the ballpark, there's going to be 9 infielders going to big league camp, plus an additional 4 non-roster invitees. Again, the non-roster invitees, every year you see somebody sneak in there, Eddie Alvarez, one of those guys. But if we go position by position, and back to first base for a second, you talk about Cooper and Aguilar. I know folks thought if they don't have the DH, and there will not be a DH in the National League, that Aguilar maybe is the odd man out. I don't think that's a guy you can get rid of. He's great for a clubhouse. He's great for 6 months. And then you've got Cooper. You've got Lewin Diaz knocking on the door. Listen, there's a lot of guys knocking on the door, but you assume if there are no trades, it's going to be Aguilar and Cooper at first.
Right. I would assume so, because, again, so much upside for Lewin Diaz. But I think, you know, again, another guy who maybe going to get some chances there in the minor leagues to start off. Salt and pepper, just trying to, you know, tweak things and just get ready, right? But yeah, I'm thinking Aguilar and Cooper, and are we just going to go around the horn there?
I mean, you look at second, that's probably the most precarious position on the diamond right now for the Marlins. A couple of really inexperienced young guys in
Jazz Chisholm
and Eason Diaz, because I had paused there because I also just dawned upon me that John Birdie is in that mix too. But that's a guy as the super utility
role.
Is he your opening day second baseman? Who knows? You never know what happens. But if you're just kind of talking this through, you assume that might be up for grabs between Chisholm and Diaz. And Diaz opted out last year. Chisholm looked okay. But
yeah, and I think John Birdie, too, is a guy who's going to give everybody rest, right? You know, Miggy needs a day off. Go play shortstop. You know, even Andy, I mean, we've seen him at third. We've seen John Birdie everywhere, and he's done a fantastic job. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting because he does have the experience over the guys, but interesting spot that they're in as well with Eason Diaz, who opted out, opted back in. That opened the door for Jazz Chisholm. I don't know. That really didn't do Diaz a lot of good. So, and then we look at the year that Jazz Chisholm had, what glove work that he had in the field.
Oh, he's a superb defender.
Superb,
you know, the
defender.
The question mark is, can he hit in the big leagues? And he's going to have an opportunity to show that. But I do think we come back right to, you know, there are a couple of guys, Dickerson, Marte, Duvall, Rojas, Anderson, you take those guys. There is going to be healthy competition everywhere in spring training. It's hard for me to look at the rest of the ball club and somebody's just got the opening day nod.
Right.
Right? I mean, you just don't see it, but I think that's exactly what they're doing as an organization. That, listen, this isn't your job to lose.
Right.
You better go find a way to win this job, because nothing is going to be handed to you and nothing's going to be easy around here as you build a championship organization. So you got that predicament at second base, and maybe not a predicament, but a healthy competition. But you feel good about the left side.
Absolutely.
Rojas
left
and
side, Rojas and Anderson. Right side again. And, you know, another name that we just haven't talked about, Eddie Alvarez.
Well, he's the non-roster invitee. So that's a guy.
Exactly. That's a
kicks,
guy.
Yeah, you're right. If he kicks butt in spring training and you've got a hard decision to make, yeah, you know. And now I'm starting to run through this in my mind.
I love the speed. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the
speed, I agree with you.
Names, and the speed that's out there is exactly the type of ball club that they've been saying they want to build, and that's what they're building.
Well, and you know, too, that there's a fine line here between development and winning, because the organization is coming off a season in which they went to the postseason for the first time in 17 years. Okay, they go out and spend $5 million this afternoon on Adam Duvall. They're in a position, and I know Kim Eng has talked about it, it is going to be year of development. But they're not going to go flush this thing down the toilet for 6.5 months.
Right, absolutely.
Right? So if Eddie Alvarez in spring training, and you leave spring training, and on the final days, there's a conversation in a big room that guy makes our big league team better, my guess is that he's going to be on the big league team. They're in a position where young guys are going to get a chance. But if you make our Major League Baseball team better, you're going to be on the roster.
Right. And you mentioned this last week. I was listening
to you.
I was listening to you guys. You did so great. You mentioned this last week. People hear development and they think, oh, we're going to lose. They want to lose. You know, it's not about. No. You can continue to develop while winning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. I'm with you.
And one more before we go to break, because you're comfortable with Anderson and Rojas on the left side. Again, Birdie is a super utility type guy. Look, it's a very important year for Jorge Alfaro, who has struggled. Okay,
yeah.
He was a big name in the JT Realmuto trade, along with Sixto Sanchez. Okay, no question marks about Sixto. But Jorge, I would imagine he realizes this will be a very, very important year for him. And you've got Chad Wallach,
who did phenomenal.
And in addition, you got Sandy Leon, a guy that's been in the big leagues for a long time. I doubt they're going to carry three catchers. But again, the Marlins are going to be looking for in spring training. Jorge, are you our guy? Are you our guy moving forward? You're still young. You've got so much potential. Are you our guy?
And I feel like, too, in the past, when it comes to the catcher's position, there's always been like the Jorge Alfaro or the younger catcher that they're grooming and who's going to be the catcher of the future. And there's always been that veteran who's got that experience. So, you know, whether they're getting the fifth day start, whatever it might be. So it is interesting, too, with Sandy Leon out there. And then the year that Chad Wallach had, they had a lot of confidence in him and the playoffs. And the pitchers did great with him.
Yep. Yeah.
So, Jorge, you love his tools. And you look at him, you think, come on, this guy can be so great. And it's going to be a matter of him going out there and proving it.
And as we wrap up our first segment, I think the bigger point, and I go back to it, and whether you like it or not, you know, whatever, but what the Marlins have said they're going to do, they've gone out and done, okay? They have gone to the postseason. In my opinion, I know some people don't like the bullpen. I do. I think they've got a bunch of strike throwers, but what they have built here and developed is now a huge competition in spring training, and they're going to take the best 26 guys out of spring training, and those guys are going to be ready for opening day. It's going to give Don Mattingly a lot to work with, and as we transition, are you ready to buy a new car? Yes or no?
I'm no, but I've had
okay, well, if you are, you can get New Year's savings now at AutoNation. And if you're ready to sell your car, AutoNation's going to make it as easy as ABC. We go over this every Tuesday night, folks. A, any AutoNation store. B, bring in your car. C, get a check on the spot. They're going to buy your car, whether you buy theirs or not. You'll get a check on the spot in as fast as 30 minutes. So you can turn it into cash right now. Sell your car fast at AutoNation. Visit AutoNation.com. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, rules and changes. A lot has been agreed to around the league in the last 24 hours. You're listening to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff, driven by AutoNation, is on 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
Well, welcome back to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, driven by AutoNation, right here on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app. Make sure you experience opening day live at Marlins Park with the Marlins Opening Day Bundle. It's going to start at just $65. You can build that bundle, get yourself tickets to three games, including opening day 2019. in 21. Plus your choice of a Marlins cap, including floral options. Make sure you visit marlins.com/bundle. Again, that is marlins.com/bundle tonight. Alongside sideline reporter, Fox Sports Florida, soon to be Bally Sports Florida, Kelly Sacco. I'm Kyle Seeloff. Marlins pitching coach Mel Stottlemyre Jr. will join us in just about 7 minutes' time right here on the Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation. But Kelly, in the last 48 hours, spring training in the regular season now a full go. Changes, health and safety protocols have been agreed to. I'm going to throw some of the changes that are staying your way. We'll talk them through a little bit here, but tell me if you like them or if you don't like them. Seven-inning doubleheaders are back.
I like them. I like them. I think it goes quicker. The day wasn't nearly as long as I thought it was going to be.
Good for the broadcasters.
Good for the broadcasters, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think the players like them. I think it just kind of opens up opportunities to just, when games get postponed, to just make up more games possible. I believe last year, 56 doubleheaders, but that was to make up for all of the postponed games.
Sure.
And that's the most since 1984, where there are 76 doubleheaders. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Seven-inning doubleheaders. Let's do it.
All right, coming back in 2021, a runner will be on second base to start extra innings. Your thoughts there?
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. And you know who warmed up to it, too, was Don Mattingly.
He did.
Beginning of the year, he wasn't too fond of it, but it was exciting, and I think the fans really enjoyed it. I think that was part of the initiative. I found this was very interesting. So the longest game last year, by innings, that is, of the 78 extra inning games that were played were a pair of 13-inning games. I remember being in this ballpark, I think it was 2017, 18, I don't know. We were here for like 17, 18 innings. And you're just there forever. It
yeah, they had some real doozies with the Mets like goodness. Three games into the season.
Right, and it just, you know, it eats up your bullpen. I think runner on second base, let's get this thing going. It saves arms, saves time. I'm for it.
You know, I don't know which way I go with it. I personally don't like it, but that really doesn't matter. But, you know, When Brandon Kinstler said last year how much he hated it because, personally for him, it's not easy to get a hit off me. But you're going to put a guy 180 right. feet away with nobody out. You know, it does make it easier, and I understand the excitement level. I get it. I understand it. But I really do put myself in the position of the guys on the mound. Listen, it's not easy to hit in the big leagues.
Right.
Look, if you're going to single off of me and I'm going to walk a guy and then you're going to bunt him over, you're going to get a single and drive in two, you know, I'm going to tip my cap to you. But to put a guy on second base where they can bunt him over and hit a lazy fly ball 300 feet to center field and he's going to score if it's a speedy guy because you can do that.
Right.
The last runner, the last inning, the last out goes to second. You know, I don't know. I that's a tough one, and I totally see it from the player's perspective, and I also see it from the league's perspective, but obviously everybody agreed to it. So, and again, I guess the pros to that is games are wrapping up quicker. You're not getting game four of the season, 18 innings, and 5 hours later, and seven guys in the bullpen. You've got nobody for tomorrow. So that part, I totally agree with.
Especially, you know, coming off of a season where everyone's really scared about injuries, you know, and dead arms and all the above.
Yeah.
So I think, again, just coming off of this pandemic, it makes sense. Will it continue to future in the future? That's to be seen.
Yeah, we'll see. Not staying. We'll run through these quickly. The deal does not include the designated hitter. A lot of people think this will be the final year without the DH, and the new collective bargaining agreement next year will include the designated hitter in Major League Baseball moving forward, but that remains to be seen. And now the National League general managers know how they need to structure their ball clubs over the course of the next month or so. And as of right now, no expanded playoffs. Moving on to protocols. Obviously, last year, the COVID-related issues was a mental strain and toll on everybody traveling and everybody in the game. Kelly, I know there's some new protocols in terms of what players are going to be doing.
I think the newest one, the one that kind of stands out to me the most, is they're wearing sensors. It was the same thing that they did in the NFL, I believe, in the NBA as well. And it's pretty much goes off if you get too close to someone. So it's trying to maintain that social distancing. And the contact tracing, if someone does indeed end up testing positive. And there's also going to be disciplines for people who violate protocols this year. And I believe they were a little bit lax with that last year.
Yep. So the health and safety, it's all intact. Maybe the biggest news to me in the last 24 to 48 hours, apparently the baseballs are changing. and Major League Baseball is going to deaden the baseballs a little bit in 2021. Now, what I had saw, what I had seen, rather, any ball that travels over 375 feet, all the measurements that they've done with thousands of tests have indicated the ball is going to travel a foot or two less. So we're not talking about a guy that usually hits a ball 450 and it's going 390 and caught at the warning track. But nonetheless, interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and it's there's so many different ways to go about this. So I guess to just kind of say, what does that mean, deadening the baseball? We're pretty much like the construction of the ball is going to change slightly, just a little bit. And then also we'll get to this, the five teams who are adding humidifiers in the ball storage, which according to studies, the offense drops about 20% if it's stored in a retainer that has a lot of humidity.
Yeah, the humidors like they have in Colorado. Yep.
Exactly. And this was kind of in reaction to 2019. You got a lot of complaints about the ball being juice, and they're just trying to attempt for everything to be even, you know, to consistent. So what they're basically doing is they're loosening the tension in the first wool winding of the baseball. Have you ever taken apart a baseball, like as a kid? Have you like...
My dogs did. Yeah, not me.
Well, we used to, in high school, we used to purposely rip the seams off and try to make bracelets, and we'd unravel them.
There you go.
Yeah, so it's pretty much, it's a rubber ball. There's a little compressed cork, and then that's wrapped in rubber, a couple layers of rubber, and then a bunch of wool. So they loosened up one of the wool windings, and they expect, this is according to Athletic, expect about 5% less home runs.
That's substantial at the end of the year.
It is. But they are anticipating home run numbers to look like they did in 2017, which they had broken up until that point, home run records. Now, 19, a whole different story. So they don't expect it to be nearly as bad. Where we are going to speak to pitching coach Mel Stottlemyre Jr. about is going to be the weight of the balls going to be different as well.
Yep.
Slightly.
Here's the good news on all fronts. Everything's been agreed to, and baseball can get started next week in the Grapefruit League and the Cactus League as well. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Marlins pitching coach Mel Stottlemyre Jr. joins the Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation, right here on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff, driven by AutoNation, is on 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
Oh, welcome on back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show, tonight driven by AutoNation, right here on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app. Hey, don't forget, Home Run Rewards is offering game-used and autographed memorabilia to add to your collection all month long. Sign up tonight and bid your rewards points against fellow cardholders to join the fun. Visit Marlins.com/rewards to learn more. Alongside Kelly Sacco, I'm Kyle Seeloff, and it is a pleasure now to welcome onto the show, headed into year three as the Marlins pitching coach, Mel Stottlemyre Jr. Mel, thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing tonight?
My pleasure. I'm doing great. Actually, it's still the afternoon where I'm at.
Ah, yes. with that being said, Mel, heck with baseball. How's the fishing?
Well, I'm wrapping it up. This month always presents more work for me because I obviously got to get ready for spring training, stay in touch with our players, but wrap up our fishing. But no, it's been good.
Mel, I have to know. Hi, good to talk to you. I gotta
hey,
know.
How are you?
Good, Mel. How are you? Okay, I gotta know. I don't know the proper way to ask this, I guess, in fishing terms. What's like your trophy fish? What's the fish that you caught where you're like, man, I am proud of myself. That guy put up a fight.
Well, I've been fishing this river over here on the Clearwater River in Idaho for about 30 years. The largest steelhead I have is right at 26 pounds, which is a few pounds off the record. So,
Wow.
That fish is still a special fish. I caught it with my dad, which made it more special. And then I've been chasing the world record walleye over on the Columbia River, and I come a pound and a half from the state record. So, yeah, that's kind of cool. Probably my two biggest trophies as far as freshwater.
Very impressive.
All right, Mel, fine. We'll talk a little baseball now. I know last season was mentally taxing, and it took a toll on everybody, and I know a lot of folks were happy to get to an off season. How excited are you to get back to Jupiter and get back to a full grind, a full season with these guys this year?
No, you're right in saying that last year was definitely a grind, and so proud of our ball club, the young pitching staff to, you know, overcome so many obstacles, and definitely strange from a staff standpoint and how we had to deal with our players and react to different situations. So, you know, I thought I was ready to put that behind, and lo and behold, you know, here we are in 2021, and still probably going to have to face a lot of the same things in terms of preparing our players and scouting reports and stuff like that. But, you know, it is my third year, and, I remember making the bold statement when I came in over to the Marlins about how exciting this staff could be in the great arms and the talent that we had. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to our guys kind of taking that next step. Guys like Sandy and Lopez and Eliezer, you know, guys I've had for going on 3 years now, to they've learned a lot about themselves, certainly the league. They've made some great strides forward in becoming pitchers, you know, complete pitchers, and that's taken some time. And I'm looking forward to those guys taking the next step forward and meeting some new challenges. You know, we've added Sixto, and you got Trevor Rogers right around the corner, and certainly didn't put up some great numbers, but did some good things, you know, in the world of analytics, and definitely projects to be one of our guys. So it's an exciting rotation. I think baseball is starting to recognize that, and certainly our division is aware of our guys, and I look forward to that.
Mel, let's dive into that rotation a little bit more. I know you touched upon it. Guys like Sandy and Pablo, who you've spoken about in the past, saying how you're looking for them to be aggressive and gain that confidence. After a season like they had last year, do you feel like those guys have turned a page?
Yeah, you know, in a sense they have. And part of our battles were getting those guys to believe in themselves and have the confidence to believe that they belong in the league. And, you know, certainly you have to learn the league, the hitters, and all the things that we've added, the scouting reports, how we look at things and how we like to do things as an organization. And I've asked a lot of them, been very demanding on them, and have pushed them. And, you know, when I say they're ready to roll, is, you know, there's a lot of hurdles that they've climbed over, and we can move on to some bigger and better things and meet some new challenges. So, man, you know, I'm so proud of Sandy and Lopez. And, you know, Eliezer, before he got hurt, he was doing some great things. And we have spent a lot of time with those guys. And, you know, they've gone through some rough patches, and they've showed everybody in baseball, the organization-wise, the fans, that they're capable of doing some great things. So I'm going to use the word consistency. Both of those guys showed that last year. And, you know, so they've overcome a lot. You know, you guys have lived it too, and you've watched some of their changes they've gone through.
Mel, I'm going to throw a couple of names at you, in particular in your starting rotation. Rogers, Sanchez, Garrett. We saw Dan Castano. Those guys, it leads me to a broader question that I don't really know how to ask, other than, where do these guys that we had an opportunity to see for the first time in the major leagues last year go from there? What did they do? What did you leave them with that gives you the confidence that those guys are going to show up and be better than they were last year this spring?
Well, a couple of those names on that list that you named, certainly guys like Daniel Castano came up and did an unbelievable job for us, you know, filling in. And not only did he fill in, he gave us the opportunity to win some games in a playoff hunt. So those experiences that those particular players that you just named, you know, was their experience was invaluable. And it gave them a little feel for what the league's like and really what adjustments that they need to make. You know, and I ask all our pitchers to go home you know, at the end of the season, and to try to take a step back and reflect back on things that they did well and things that they need to do better to, you know, to move forward. So, I'm excited for a guy like Trevor Rogers. This guy's, you know, and I hate to put added pressure on him, and I think he can handle it. This guy's going to be a beast, and I'm telling you, he's, you know, he's still trying to figure some things out, but the weapons that he has, and he has that kind of quiet demeanor, but there's a fire that burns inside this kid, and I've watched him work, and I can appreciate all the things that he brings. He's just got to, you know, need some time, learn a little bit about the league, continue to learn more about himself, and apply all the things that we're going to ask him to do, like we have our other guys. So, you know, Sixto did some good things, kind of established himself as a guy we could probably count on, and I got to keep my finger on him and push him in some areas that are somewhat new to him. So it's very exciting. You know, Garrett, you mentioned Garrett, you know, he got his feet wet more out of, you know, necessity. And we had the guys that went through the COVID thing. So it opened up some opportunities for some other players that it was nice to see them come in and watch them work and look at their stuff and be able to go into the off season and have a better feel for our players and make some good decisions.
For those young guys, Mel, who, as you mentioned, got that invaluable experience last year, then the season ends. It's the off season. You want to make sure that they're continuing to develop. So my question for you is, how hands-on are you with them during the off season? When does it start to pick up?
Well, I'm sure if you asked our players about me, they know that I don't back off. so that's for sure. And, you know, I'm sure they find a lot of the times where I push them. And that's because I want greatness for each one of them. But, you know, I did let them go back, and I gave them a month off, and I didn't contact them. I left them alone. And I've asked them to all reflect on the season and think about things that changes that they would want to make, you know, to help their game and what they learned, you know, from their experience. So I like that time, that month to go by for those guys to think. And then I start the phone calls. And, you know, the first phone call is going over the season. And I like to take each one of the players through things they did good and things we need to improve on. And we have the conversations. I use analytics. You know, I use my eyes. I take some numbers, and then I certainly have my own thoughts in notes that I jot down when having these discussions. And that will give them a little bit of gauge and some feedback on our thoughts. And then also, as they move forward into the throwing programs and their bullpens, it'll give them some things to work on. And hopefully, you know, when they get to spring, they're in good shape and had time to work on those things. And they all send me videos, so I stay in tune. Like I say, it's if you ask them, it's Stott doesn't go away. I'm pretty relentless.
I'm curious, coming off of a crazy year like we just did and with a shortened season, was the approach to this offseason any different than ones in the past, or is it just kind of status quo?
No, you know, there's a lot of things we got to look at, and there's things we still got to answer. I mean, you know, all of baseball is going to take a look at the innings pitched that our starters went through, and, you know, we've got to ask ourselves, what's the safe number? There was a lot of lost time, you know, from a standpoint of a lot of players didn't get their innings. And, you know, with as young as we are, you know, we have innings projections and we try to stay true to those the best that we can and don't jeopardize health. So as far as, you know, the off season, I'm going to tell you that they started a little bit earlier, and we took a little more time getting through our progressions and played more catch over the course of the winter for a longer period of time. And that was by design. going into spring training and going into this season, there was still a lot that we don't know. And we had to assure ourselves that our guys were going to be in good shape, but we give them a little time off. You still have to prepare yourself for a full season, 30 something starts, 160 something games. And we certainly did that. There's some of them that, guys like Garrett, he missed a lot of baseball. And so we started him early. Guys like Trevor Rogers, that is probably not used to throwing as many bullpens in the off season as he has. He knows he's competing for a spot. And so these guys have got themselves ready. Sixto Sanchez, who in the past hasn't done a lot in terms of bullpens prior to coming to camp. And, he's going to have six under his belt. And these guys are going to all be competing for jobs. And they know that it's competitive. So, that probably sparked them to start things a little earlier.
Marlins pitching coach Mel Stottlemyre Jr. joining us. Mel, speaking of spring training and on the way out the door here, next week you're going to shake hands with 33 different pitchers that are going to be in big league camp. You are just one man. There is not enough sunlight during the day to work with every single one of them. I've always been curious, and you've got a handful of guys that have done this for a long time. They're seasoned veterans, and they know what they need to do to get themselves ready. How hands-off are you with those guys as you take the Play-Doh that is some of these younger guys and you try to mold them a little bit during the spring?
No, that's always a debatable, interesting subject. And, every pitching coach is different. I'll tell you what I'm not going to do is overwhelm them with a lot of information or take them away from things that they've done to have success in the past. We've already started the dialogue a long time ago with all these players. And to get to know them, introduce myself, let them know things that I like, my expectations. Sometimes that's half the battle and take the newness away. So, with guys like Bass and Detweiler and Simber and there's lots of them, right? There is a period of time that I got to sit back and let my eyes kind of take a peek and watch them and formulate my own opinions, but I've done enough homework. I've watched enough videos. I've seen those guys across on the other side of the field for a long time. So I have a feel for them, but it's like anything, you gotta earn that trust, and you do that by not going in and knocking the walls down and asking these guys to reinvent themselves. So it is a learning curve, and I got great help. And my bullpen coach, Wellington Cepeda, Rob Flippo is going to come over to the pitching department and help me with post-game reviews and pre-advanced scouting reports. Guys like Scott Aldred are going to play and do it in the spring training and help me out. So, that's the one thing I've learned as I've gotten a little older, hopefully a little wiser, is try to delegate and give some responsibility to the other guys. I know that's hard for me to do.
Mel, Miguel Rojas said on MLB Network Radio last night he thinks this starting rotation has the fixings to have a bunch of aces. I personally love what the organization has done with the bullpen. I think you got a lot of strike throwers. So we appreciate the time tonight. It's always a pleasure to chat with you, Mel, and it's always fun to watch you work out there on the diamond. So thanks so much for joining us, and we'll chat with you soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Two of my favorite, Kelly and Kyle. You guys have a good day.
Thanks,
all
Mel.
Right. Thanks, Mel. All right. That was Marlins pitching coach Mel Stottlemyre Jr. And Kelly, before we go to break, boy, that's a tough job, but it's been a lot of fun to watch Mel work, and he's done a fascinating job and a terrific job heading into year number three.
Absolutely, and you've just seen it with the growth of the pitchers as well, right? You've just seen the confidence that they've gained. You've seen the aggression. You've seen the progress that they've made, and there's nothing else you can really ask but just that, and it's going to be really exciting to see what he does with all those talented young arms, and we didn't even touch upon the ones in the minor league system who are coming up.
Yeah, we could have talked with Mel for another half hour. We could have done a two-hour special. It's fun to talk with Mel. But I just, and before we go to break, I just think people underestimate the job in which he has done, you know, it's easier. And I asked that final question because it is easier if you've got 20 veteran guys, and, you know, you're hands off with Clayton Kershaw if you're in Los Angeles, right? But what Mel has done with so many young arms and the challenges that presents, but to watch those kids and now men and young men go out to the mound in the big leagues and have success has been a ton of fun to watch. So we'll take one final break. When we come back, we got a few minutes left. Alongside Kelly Sacco, I'm Kyle Seeloff. You're listening to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff, driven by AutoNation, is on 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
Welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app. Hey, if you're ready to buy that new car, get New Year's savings now at AutoNation. Yeah, it's February, but you can still get New Year's savings. If you're ready to sell your car, they're going to make it real easy for you. Go to any AutoNation store, bring in your car, get a check on the spot. They're going to buy yours, whether you buy theirs or not. Get a check on the spot. And as fast as 30 minutes, you can turn that into cash right now. Sell your car fast at AutoNation. Visit AutoNation.com. Alongside Kelly Sacco, I'm Kyle Seeloff. And Kelly, before we get out of here, we got about 2 minutes left. Did want to mention thoughts and prayers to the family of renowned ESPN journalist Pedro Gomez, who suddenly lost his life on Sunday. Pedro was a pioneer for Hispanics, Hispanic baseball journalists, male and female, and just an outpouring of support for that family in the last couple of days. Pedro Gomez was one of the best news writers, hits home a little bit, grew up in Miami, wrote for the Miami Herald, went to the San Jose Mercury News, been with ESPN forever. So I'm not sure if you have any thoughts, but that was really a tragic loss for the entire baseball community, and you saw it a lot over the last 48 hours.
Oh, absolutely. You saw so much support coming from so many different people, and you know, the thing that just I kept reading over and over again, yes, everyone talking about the great things that he's done over his career, but his kindness and who he was as a person and as a mentor to the young journalists growing up. And of course, we got to remember, you know, he was a father. A father to three kids, his son Rio and the Red Sox organization, yeah. and his wife. So it's just, again, you mentioned it, just really thinking about them and their family through this terrible time.
Yeah, I remember growing up and Pedro covered. He was with Barry Bonds every step of the way in that home run chase. It was incredible. It was ESPN. It was night in. It was night out. But so thoughts and prayers to the family of Pedro Gomez. But Kelly, as we get out of here, thank you. And heck yeah, baseball's about to start.
Heck yeah, that's right, Kyle. It's been a lot of fun to be here and just chit-chatting about some Marlins baseball. Good things in the future. Can't wait for them to just continue to progress. And hey, coming off that great season, I can't wait to see what they do in 2021.
Pitchers and catchers next week. Game start in a couple of weeks. Opening day. It's a little over a month away. For Chris Holly, our producer back home in the 940 Wins Marlins Radio Network studio, I'm Aunt Kelly Sacco. I'm Kyle Seeloff saying so long and good night. Thanks for listening to the Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins and the iHeartRadio app.